Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it together. I did it, did, do, 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 do. Let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, shoo, bop.
Thank you for calling the Musical Chairs in Massachusetts. Your call is important to us. Please hold for the next available musician. Thank you again for calling the Musical Chairs in Massachusetts. Your queue is currently 4,723. Please hold for the next available musician.
Thank you for calling the Musical Chairs in Massachusetts, where we feature and spotlight local musicians of all genres from all over New England. You're joined today by your hosts, Nikki Cross and Christopher Guerra. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hold music brought to you by The Elevators, a Boston-based reggae band.
You know, that was the coolest intro we've done to date. Like, let me tell you. Guys, thank you again for tuning in to this episode of the Musical Chairs in Massachusetts. And it's been a while since I've been sitting at this seat, so I decided to wear something other than my usual black shirt. I picked a new color.
Yeah, you're kind of like brightening up the room today. It's a really great color. It looks great on you. I like it.
Well, thank you. It's peach. I kind of look like the giant peach from James and the Giant Peach. No. But other than that, you know, no, it's nice. It's warm outside.
It's summery.
It's summery, right? So, yeah, I just figured to spice it up. Speaking of James and the Giant Peach, if you remember that story, there's a spider character.
Mm-hmm.
Well, boy, did I come and find a spider in my situation.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. So
trigger warning, people.
Trigger warning. I was, okay, so picture this.
Sicily, 1935.
Not quite. your pal Chris in the shower. Getting ready. The shower is on.
That's a visual I think some people probably don't want to picture. Chris in the shower.
There was no peach fuzz. So anyways.
Oh God.
Yeah. There I was in the shower. And, you know, I have this beautiful shower curtain, cloth in the front. And then I have a plastic typical shower curtain behind it. And I'm getting ready to grab the shampoo. And I'm looking. And I just see this quarter-sized thing moving up the curtain.
Sounds a little dramatic.
You know, I wish it was. I really wish it was. I'll just show you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let me just zoom in.
You can braid the fuzz on its legs. Look at those hairy legs.
You know.
That thing has more hair on its legs than you do on your head, Christopher.
There were two people in that shower that had hairy legs. So
yeah, the spider being one of them.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And just to give you a skit, because I know, like, this is a blow up. Like, I get it. Like, it's
still good. Okay, put it away.
Just to give you an idea of the scale, like, that's it right there.
Sir, I give you kudos. I give you a lot of credit for even getting that close to that thing.
Yeah, I was terrified, to say the least.
Yeah, but not terrified enough to have a whole photo shoot with it. Jeez.
I did charge him.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, yeah. So, but don't worry, guys. I did not send him down the toilet. I did not.
Did he go down the water spout again?
He did not go down the water spout again.
I mean, if he's not paying rent or contributing, he's got to go.
He's got to go, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got him in a glass jar. I brought him outside. I let him loose. Somebody probably should have told me to get dressed first. But, you know.
And now Christopher needs to register.
you know, you drastic measures.
Drastic times. Cost. Drastic spiders.
Drastic spiders. Jurassic,
Jurassic spiders.
call for drastic measures. So anyways, yeah.
And you live to tell the tale.
I did, but barely. So I apologize to all our fans that have arachnophobia. Sorry.
Sorry.
Not sorry. And if you happen to find my TikTok, you can see a video of it cleaning its leg. It's like the
It was literally getting clean with you.
It was. We were all getting dirty, and then it was like, no, we're going to clean up. Anyways. But I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be with my besties. You there, Nikki, and my other bestie.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that. Guys, you're in for a treat. We have a really good musician coming up. He has been here once already, part of another band. But he is also a very well-established musician in his own right. So let me tell you, lots of history, lots of great stories, and a book. A book like no other.
An unwritten book.
Unwritten book. It'll all make sense. So make sure you stay tuned. Nikki, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Today's guest is a New England native with half a century of songwriting under his belt. Stevie G, better known as Squeeza, penned his first tune at just 9 years old after learning only 3 guitar notes from Robin McNamara. Since then, he's been crafting music that captures the chaos of the world, laced with his trademark blistering guitar riffs and solos. Over time, Squeeza's punk rock roots evolved into an acoustic storytelling style that draws listeners deep into the imagination. His project, Irony's Revenge, is a collection of songs told as a book about a man named Jack Sr., brought to life through Squeeza's acoustic mastery and unforgettable voice. With influences ranging from Black Sabbath to Led Zeppelin to Rush, Squeeza's sound is bold as his stories. You can find his work on Facebook and Reverb Nation. Let's welcome Squeeza to the show.
Woo! And let's just say, Nikki, that was great for that. You did it in one shot. I'm just so impressed with you. Guys, thank you for tuning in. And thank you, Squeeza, for coming down and doing this. We are excited.
I am happy to be here.
Yeah, this is really great.
He is a return guest of ours because you originally came into our studio. Wow, it seems like it was so long ago now with the Can Collectors.
That's right.
Yeah, so welcome back.
I play the bass for them.
Yes.
If you guys all seen the, I don't know how long
ago. That seems like it was a while ago.
It 6 does, months right? anyway.
Yeah.
It's all about the bass. No treble.
Uh-huh. The bass is every foundation of every band, along with the drums.
Yeah,
I feel like bass players and drummers do not get the credit and recognition they deserve.
We are invisible.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's crazy because a lot of guitarists, they start off with the bass, but they don't usually stay there. They kind of migrate over.
There's no limelight in the bass.
Yeah.
But when it comes to playing cover songs, I don't mind being in the back.
Yeah.
I don't mind it at all.
The bass is kind of like the heartbeat of the, I mean, aside from the drums, but like people, the bass line is so important in a song and people overlook that so much.
It's an absolute.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That every hit song has a kick-ass bass line, but try to remember the name of any bass player of any great band.
Sure.
Yeah. It's the soul of the sound.
It is. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So, Squeeza, let's start from the beginning. You have been playing music for a long time, but at what point did you become interested in music?
I've always been interested in music. Music has been part of my birth. My parents were hippie people, so they always had parties. They always had friends coming over, albums playing. So when my mom was pregnant, the beat was going on. It was the old school Led Zeppelin and, you know, the 60s music was going on. But in the early 70s, I grew up in Boston.
Yeah.
And I used to sit on the couch when I was 5 years old.
Okay.
And I would listen to this radio station. It was an AM radio station called WRKO with Dale Dorman. And yep. I would literally rock on the couch with my Walkman on, with my one headphone and my one ear and my AM Walkman that my parents bought me for Christmas. It was the cat's ass on the day.
Yeah.
And I would all day long rock and listen to songs like On the Boardwalk and, you know, all of them, Wolfman Jack's Show and all of it. And
yeah.
So I've been into music. I would sit there and, you know, I didn't know music back then, but I would count to 100 and beat. I never knew I was doing it. But during the beat, I would go 1, 2, 3, and through the whole song, I'd see how many counts I could go up as
and that the beat. Just naturally came to
and
you.
It just naturally came to me. And
that's cool.
When you said earlier in the intro, Robin McNamara taught me my first three notes. My mother and his sister were best friends.
Oh.
They were together inseparably. You couldn't separate these two. So by, you know, by default, Robin used to come over and visit all the time.
Yeah.
The story goes, one evening he was over, and I happened to be up, and he was playing his guitar, doing his thing, and he put it down against the couch, and they went outside to do what I was doing. So I walked up, and my mother was sitting in the chair. You know, he was a superstar at this point, Robin was. You know, he had a hit song. And back in the 70s, if you had a hit song, you were something.
Yeah.
You know, today you have a hit song, and you really, unless you get a trillion hits, you're not much.
Yeah. It's oversaturated these days.
Yes,
it is oversaturated.
Yeah, there is too many of us out there. There's no doubt about it. And it's hard to be unique. However, but Robin was unique in his own style, and he had a hit tune, and he had this beautiful Yamaha guitar laying against the couch, and I went up to it, and I went, and my mother smacked my hand. She goes, "That's not yours. Don't touch it." I cried. I went into my room. I was only 9 years old.
Oh, wow.
I slammed the door. I cried. I laid in my bed, and all of a sudden I heard on my door.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't say nothing. I was pissed. You know, my mom smacked me, humiliated me. And it was Robin. And he had this little small plastic string guitar in his hand.
Oh.
And he goes, "Look." And he tuned it up. Up, up, up. Got it all nice tuned. He goes, "Learn this. And if you can master that and make it sound perfect just like that, I will give you this Yamaha guitar. Don't tell your mother."
Wow.
Now, it wasn't electric. It was just a standard Yamaha guitar. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was way too big for me. I had small hands. I was a small little kid. And I said, oh, I was determined. So I did all night long, quietly. And I played it, you know, I played it like this. And he told me, make sure you do it like that.
Yeah.
So I learned it. All week I played it all week. And then my brother coming was mean to me, and he untuned my guitar.
Oh,
I was so pissed.
No.
I didn't know how to tune it. I didn't have a clue, right?
Yeah.
So anyway,
well, that's
I
just
still
cruel.
Did it. I did it. I still did it. But then all of a sudden, I learned it. Jeez, I could do that. Because this string was out of tune.
Oh, okay.
And then one day, he showed up again. And he goes, "Oh, don't worry about it. This is how you tune it." He goes, "Make sure it sounds like that." And he gave me he gave me one of those tuners where the tuning fork,
yeah,
where it was tuned for E. So I would have to match note.
Ooh,
and I would have to match it.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he showed me, "Make sure that those two strings match. So when you get that string down, make sure that those two strings match." And he was really straight about it. I was, "Oh, that's easy. Okay." So I learned that, and I had the tuning fork. And then one day I realized, I was like, "Oh, that sounds good," because I mastered it. I mastered it. I was psyched.
Yeah.
So he showed up again, and I said, "Robin, watch this." And then I said, "Robin, watch this. I figured out this." I went. And I said, "I'm learning a song. I'm writing a song." I hadn't had the lyrics yet, but I wrote that. He was so impressed. He says to me, he goes, "Make sure you keep writing. You're going to be a superstar." I believed him. Aww. I was 9 years old. I believed this guy. All I ever wanted to do from that point was play music.
Yeah.
I had a career set aside for me. I had everything set aside for me. I had a silver spoon in my mouth growing up. I had everything handed to me. But all I wanted to do was play music, and my father would not have it. He knew Robin was drugs and women and
sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Sex, yeah. And drugs and rock and roll. Sure, sounds good to me, right? And it did. I love that fact that he was taking off and going to China, and he was going here and he was going there, everywhere to play the song. One song.
Yeah.
All you do is write one song. That was,
yeah, a little one hit wonder, huh?
That's all you needed.
Yeah.
To me, that's all. So I started writing song after song after song. All I know was this one chord. That's all I knew.
Okay.
Didn't matter. I wrote songs for my whole life.
Yeah.
My whole entire life I wrote music, and I was looking for that one song. I never found it. Nope.
Well, found life is one. Still life in, so you got
the
time.
The closest I ever got is when I moved back from Maine. I wrote a couple of songs that MCA Records decided they were going to buy off me for $5,000.
Huh.
And I heard one of the songs on the radio, but they totally changed it. They totally changed the chords. They totally changed the way the song went. But the beginning lyrics were the same. And the chorus was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yes. And I can't even mention it on the air, who the band was, because I signed an agreement that I would not.
Like an NDA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't take credit for it. From that point, I signed all the rights away. But it was a tune from a very big band. I never heard the second song ever again from anywhere, but I heard that song. When I heard it, I literally was so mad, I kicked my stereo right through the dashboard. I was so mad.
Oh, I bet.
I got out of the car. I was in tears over it.
Wow.
I was like, I wrote a hit song, though. I wrote a hit song. I wrote a song that made it to the radio, and even though I can't put my name on it,
you know deep down that
was
yours.
I wrote it.
Yeah.
And so, and it was completely changed. There was no way anything about it that was.
So you were just inspiration for it.
Yeah, I was the lyrics.
Yeah.
The words were the same. The words were all the same, but the song itself was different. Some ingenious in the music world rewrote it, and it did. They wrote it to a point where it ended up being a hit.
Yeah.
So there you have it. That can happen in the music world.
Wow.
I'm living proof of that.
That's crazy. Well, speaking of writing, do you have a song ready for us?
I do. So I have this little thing here. And so, like you were saying earlier, Irony's Revenge is a collection of tunes that I made it into a book. I didn't write this book. Words, you can't find it anywhere. It's in your mind.
Sure.
So I remember the chapters, and I remember the list of the songs, and I remember where they all go.
Yeah, yeah.
All the songs are about a guy named Jack Sr. and his entire life. And so this song I'm going to do here is from chapter 4. And when Jack was a young guy, he came across a gentleman, an older gentleman, who told him the story about his uncle's life. And it ended up to Jack Sr., it was unfair on how this story went, but he said the story of this man's entire life. And that's what the song's called. It's called Unfair.
Gotcha.
You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Go to work, and I got up late, and I gotta get to work. driving my car just to get there fast. Cause I know in my mind that that job won't last. Life is unfair, but some say it's fair. Life is unfair, but some say it's fair. Life is unfair, but some say it's fair. Watching her grow, it goes so fast. And you always thought that her life would last. When they died, they were taking away the pervert blast. And they took them away, found them dead and tied up in gags. And I should have known that their lives wouldn't last. Life is unfair, but some say it's fair. Life is unfair, but some say it's fair. Life is unfair, but some say it's fair. Well, I'm growing old and I'm tired and gray. And I sit on my porch and I rock and sway. Looking at the world and watching it pass. Cause I know in my mind I'm glad my life did last. Then I died, you bury me right next to my kin. You bury me. Written in the graveyard, rocks and stone. I hear lies a man, he died alone.
Woo! Whew.
Nice. Wow, so you must have to have a lot of energy.
I am 59 years old, and I challenge any teenager to,
yeah,
to a 100-yard dash.
There you go. That's how you won. That's how you do it. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Sweet.
I do have a lot of energy. I really do. I'm blessed.
That's good. That's good, though.
I don't know if it was from lack of alcohol and drugs in my body through life, or just eating correctly, or I fast, I meditate.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I found my pineal gland.
Okay.
If anybody knows what that is, and if you don't, look it up.
Okay.
It is the key to the universe. It is the key to life in itself.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. So when you write your songs, where do you get the inspiration from?
The world.
Yeah.
The world is an insane place. I'm not playing it today, but I wrote a song about it. It's called Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it talks about just the general phases of the world, you know, on how people, domestic violence, alcoholism, you know, thievery.
Oh,
it
yeah.
talks about all of it. That first song that
on the teaser, refer back to Facebook for that.
If you find that's basically a song, you know, about what your parents would tell you when you were a kid, you know, give you the advice that you need, but some kids just don't get it.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of funny you say that, because let me make sure I'm on the right one here. Oh no,
yeah.
Never mind.
Well, It's always interesting to see how each one of our guests, have or get their motivation, their inspiration for writing their songs.
Yeah.
You know, but there's definitely a lot of, things happening in this world that can definitely help.
There's a lot of the life experiences that I've gone through personally.
Yeah.
Personally, who might say that influenced some of these songs. But it's mostly stuff that I view, stuff right. that I see on the news, stuff that I see in person. And I try not to be a negative person, but I seem to find all the negative in the world. I'm hyper vigilant. I see everything.
Yeah.
I don't miss a fly going by my window at 75 miles an hour. That's how I notice things. It's a curse. It really is, because I notice everything. And in doing so, you see things that nobody else does.
Right.
Some things go right by people. And I'll drive by in a car, and I'll see a couple having sex on a bench, but I'll see it clearly going by at 40 miles an hour, even though everybody saw it for a split second. I saw the whole thing clearly.
Wow.
And that's just, it's a curse. It really is, because I see some disturbing things that most people don't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of craziness out there, for sure, you know? But a lot of it can make for some good music writing.
Yeah.
Right, a lot of inspiration.
Right?
Yeah.
99% of the songs that you hear from any artist in the world comes from some kind of trauma or a good event. It could be a good event, you know. But on any given day, someone could write a song about anything. A song sometimes starts out as a poem.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does. And then all of a sudden, someone puts music to it and it becomes a song.
So do you find yourself creating the song first, or do you come up with the lyrics first?
My music is not written anywhere. When I die, my music will die with me.
Wow.
You can't find my lyrics anywhere. They're not jotted down. Everything that you hear is stuck in my head.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you were telling us off camera what you have over 100 songs.
Over 100
And you songs. Remember all of those verbatim. They're
every
just in the vault.
Every single one of them. Because it's easy to remember because it means so much to me.
Sure.
Yeah. Huh.
When I write a song, there's something that comes out of my soul. You're literally exposing a weakness of mine.
Yeah.
And I believe that I'm so strong personally is because I get all of this negative out. A lot of my music is negative. People will tell me, why do you sing about so many negative things? I'm just spitting out all the negative energy out of my body and pumping it into ground.
That can go for, you know, there's country artists out there that only put out sad, you know, sad songs or like that. Everybody has their something.
You can't write a song if your heart's not broken. I'm sorry. It's hard to write a song when you're happy. It really is. It's a sad reality, but...
Or it's going to lack depth and emotion.
Yeah. I challenge any artist out there that's hearing my voice right now, tell me that they wrote a happy song about something that was totally happy all the way through. Because even if you have a happy ending, you have to have a shitty beginning.
Can you imagine the guy who wrote, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands"?
Right.
Had like a really traumatic first experience. That
well, see, okay, so there's a guy. There was a gentleman right there.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, I just...
Well, no.
The
okay.
mental image I have right now.
Well, here's the thing about
what if he never had hands?
Oh,
there's a see, and that's where the sadness comes
see?
In.
There's
that's
a plot twist.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Unless you don't have them.
Yeah,
now I'm just sad. I have no hands to clap.
Boy, I might write it soon. I have no hands to clap. Why am I so? I'm so happy.
There's a plot twist.
Oh no!
And wait, that's where the sadness for the song comes in.
I've been inspired.
Yes. You heard it here, folks.
Yes. Right.
Oh, next thing you know, I'm here. Me playing a song has something to do with some poor chick that can't clap her hands because she only got wrists.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I tried to buy her a present to cheer her up, but she couldn't unwrap it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Geez. Okay, wait. Now we're going to get the nasty emails from some poor chick that has no hands.
No, because she can't type them.
It'll just be a voicemail.
Oh, no. So bad.
Lord, forgive us. Okay, so anyway.
I already know I'm too far gone, so.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, we know a few of your, you know, musical influences, but do you have any other major musical influences?
Nirvana.
Yeah.
Nirvana's my biggest. I didn't mention them in that, but I should have, because they are my biggest influence. Everything that Kurt wrote, everything that man said, everything that it had so much meaning. He was a two chord wonder. However, he made it work. He knew how to layer shit like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah,
he did it right.
You know, isn't it crazy too? The short period of time that he was around. I mean, I say short, but as far as him, you know, hitting the mainstream.
Really out in the spotlight,
Yeah, getting in the spotlight. He just made such a huge impact on the musical industry.
He changed music forever.
Oh, yeah.
He created grunge.
Yep.
And it changed music forever. Even the rock music that you hear today has grunge feel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was a whole decade, it felt like.
It was.
You know, that his music definitely defined a generation.
It opened the door into an entire realm.
Oh, yeah.
It really did.
Absolutely.
Nick, you got a question?
Yeah. Squeeze it. How'd you get your name?
Ooh. Oh, that's a funny one. So my dad bought a house in Waltham.
Okay.
When I was 2 years old. And I went out into my backyard, which was fenced in, and it was a very enclosed, tight community. There was houses right on top of each other. Yep. It was Waltham.
Yeah.
But there was short fences, and there was a kid in that was an older kid. There, he was like 14 or 15, and everyone called him Squeezer. Called him Squeeze, S-Q-U-E-E-Z.
Yeah.
And I apparently looked like him a little bit when I walked out the backyard. So these group of guys are sitting there. They call them the Lakeview Gang, quote unquote. Mm. And, you know, remember something. This is the flip of the 70s now. We're just rolling into 71 here. And they looked at me and goes, oh, look, a little Squeeze. So I was dubbed the nickname, and everybody through high school and everybody called me Squeeze. However, somehow or another, it got flipped into Squeezer.
Uh-huh.
So they started calling me Squeezer, but we're all from Boston.
There's no R's in Boston.
No R's in Boston. So when someone was looking for me, they would say, has anyone seen Squeezer?
I love it.
That's awesome.
And that's where it came from.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Do you have another song for us?
I do. I got one for the pot smokers.
Oh, they're going to love that.
Yes. Marijuana was legal.
Mary Jane.
Right. In Massachusetts years ago.
Yep.
So I was inspired to write this particular song.
Okay.
And in the story of Jack Sr., Jack Sr. was 17 years old, never done any drugs or anything. But he decided to go to his buddy's house at a party. And in the party, they were passing around a bong.
Okay.
He didn't like that. So he went to the next room and he says, hey, you got anything else besides that bong to smoke? I want to try this stuff. And he said, sit down, relax, let's smoke a J.
Okay.
And that's what this is called.
So what chapter is this?
This is chapter 4. I'm sorry, it's chapter 11.
Chapter 11.
Chapter 11, Smoke a J. It's when Jack was stressed out, went to a party.
Yeah.
And his friend invited him into the room to try his first J. Time eventually you can take a path, you go your own way, relax, stay. Time to smoke a J, relax, it's okay. Yeah, I said relax, you can stay. Let's smoke a J. Yeah, I said relax, you can stay. Smoke a J, yeah, I said relax, you can stay. Get a little better now? Here, have another toke. Did you find your way through the mist today? And what you see, the other side, was it me? Take a path, you go your own way, relax, stay. Time to smoke a J, relax, it's okay, yeah. I said relax, smoke a J, it's okay, yeah. I said relax, you can stay. Time to smoke a J, yeah. I said relax, you can stay. Relax, smoke a J. It makes everything okay. You make a J. I said relax, smoke a J. It makes everything okay. You make a J. I said relax, smoke a J. It makes everything okay. You make a J. I said relax, smoke a J. Woo, pass that J.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so you do a lot of your own solo stuff, but you're also, as we mentioned before, with the Can Collectors as well. So you've clearly played a lot of gigs in your time. Is there anything that really sticks out? Something super memorable or funny or something just, I can't believe this just happened. I witnessed this at a gig before.
I have.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, I've seen some things. So when I was younger and I lived in Florida, I moved to Florida actually to, I lived with Robin for a little while down there.
You've lived in a lot of places.
Yeah, I only stayed there for a short time, like 6 months. Actually, it was 14 months because when I went to Florida, I specifically went down there because Robin wanted me to meet up with this heavy metal band that was about to go on tour and needed a bass player. So I could play the bass. It was no problem. And I went down there, and they loved me. Well, we traveled up and down the East Coast for 6 solid months, and every night there was a different place, a different drug, a different woman.
Oh,
every night for 6 months.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It was. I had to resist so many different temptations, and I didn't a lot. There was sometimes that I let, you know, things slip through the cracks, and yeah. But I seen some very strange things. I watched two people OD.
Oh, wow.
Craziness, and while we were playing, because I played in a metal band, so there was mosh pits going on. It was people doing drugs. You know, heroin was big back then.
Yep.
I saw two people overdose right in front of me and while I was on stage.
Wow,
I watched
that's
one
traumatic.
Person pass away while I was right on stage. The craziest thing I ever saw was some guy got his arm cut off because they were in a mosh pit and he got pushed against a fence that comes slamming down and cut his arm right off.
Oh, my
That gosh. Was the craziest thing I ever seen.
Like clear, clean
clear
off.
Clear cut it straight off.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the craziest thing I ever seen.
Jeez, I'm glad that you're...
Yeah.
Yikes. Like, that's a hands-off situation right there.
I was on stage. I was playing the bass. And like I said, bass players are invisible.
Yeah.
So I just kind of creeped back into the back of the speakers and kind of do my thing. And
wow.
I was a really shy kid. I was only 19. I think just turning 20. Yeah. So I was a young kid back then. I was young. I wasn't even cooked yet. You know, but I got to tell you, okay, until this day, that's still my most memorable music.
Yeah, I can't. There's, in all seriousness, like it's crazy that you would lose a hand in a mosh pit scenario.
Yeah, he got and it was the craziest thing because it was one of those fences that opened up this way.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he got pushed into it and it hit the release. It was like something out of a movie.
Oh no,
like Final Destination movie.
Exactly,
like the elevator or something.
During the mosh pit, he got pushed like that, really hard, and he fell backwards and he hit that lever on the way down. And as he fell,
oh my gosh.
And the thing came down hard, too, and cut his hand right off.
I couldn't believe it. I hope he, made it, you know?
Well, he didn't die.
No, but, I mean...
He was obviously around many people, so they all wrapped her and wrapped it up. And the ambulance showed up, put his, hand in ice and sent him to the hospital. He probably, I don't know what they sewed it on or not. I don't know what happened after that.
Yikes.
But it's funny. I bring it up because I still think about it every so often. You know, that was almost...
Yeah.
38 years ago or some.
Well, think about it. Like you said, you were just a kid. You just turned like a teenager practically. That's like a core memory for you.
I wasn't even old enough to drink yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is like a legit core memory made for you.
It was nuts. It was nuts. Because, this band was so heavy that mosh pits were people getting black eyes and losing teeth. And it was a normal thing.
Still is.
Yeah. That's... It was a normal thing. And it wasn't out of ordinary to see someone fall to the ground. It wasn't out of ordinary to see someone get knocked out.
Right.
It wasn't.
Wow.
But to, have your hand just clear, taken off. That's a little out of the ordinary for a mosh pit. I mean, even still to this day, I know grown adults that just, life for whatever reason, baby mama drama, work, whatever. They'll go to metal shows because, first of all, the angry, loud, angry music berating them is, therapeutic. But also the fact that I can jump around and I can throw elbows and I can't, and I won't get in trouble for it. But it's something deep down I want to do to somebody,
Mosh pits are legal assaults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legal assaults. They really are. You can walk up to anybody and knock them out. And
So, funny story. It was at Hampton Beach Casino. Not to make this about myself, but I was at Hampton Beach Casino.
Did you see Metallica?
Did you see Metallica?
We always have to work that into a show somehow.
Metallica.
No, this was Hoobastank and Trapped.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
It was, and so.
How long ago was that?
Oh, my gosh. It was like when they were big.
Okay. Yeah. So you're going back like 20 years?
Yeah, pretty much.
We're dating you 30, right now.
Yeah, yeah. But so I was, you know, they didn't have the chairs on the, like they do now. Of course, they have like a, it was just floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all dancing and rocking. And I forget exactly which song it was. But the whole front of the stage opened up and people just started moshing.
The floodgates,
right? And I was a big guy. I still kind of am, but even bigger back then. And I had this boyfriend and girlfriend. They came up to me. The boyfriend's like, can I use you as a shield so I can get my girlfriend out of this? And I was like, sure. And so he grabbed me and used me as a battering ram. It was like,
it probably worked good.
And it did. Like, I got them out of there just peachy keen. Like, they were
You
fine.
Were the human snowplow.
I was.
Coming through.
Coming through. Ooh, ooh. It worked. So, you know, there's my experience with
yeah.
my
foot. No, I've definitely, like you said, between mosh pits and semi-pro football, that's like the legal assault outlets for people that need to channel somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always avoided them.
Yeah, me too.
So now you've played at a lot of different venues, but have you, or if you could choose a dream venue that you haven't played, or maybe you have played, what would it be?
They used to call it the Boston Garden. What do they call it these days? Oh, TD North?
TD Bank North Garden. Yeah.
Boston Garden.
Boston Garden. It'll always be the Boston Garden.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't care. I used to hang around the North End a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved the Boston Garden. I used to know how to sneak into the back doors and stuff and get in all the venues for free.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was... Well, my family did radio work, so
okay. We
did the radio work for the security for Boston Garden for the longest time. So
yeah.
They had all our portables and stuff, and so for the longest time, I could just walk in. They knew me by first name basis. But when my uncle passed away, that all went away. So, but because I did the radio work, I knew where all the equipment was, and I knew where all the back doors were, and how to get around security.
Nice.
So, yeah, and they didn't know for the longest time, but I had a key to the radio room, which had a door to. The venue.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool. Cool. So, now you've obviously have been performing for a long time. Do you have any memory of you know a time that you really made an impact on somebody with your music?
My little sister.
Oh.
My youngest sister is my biggest fan.
I love that.
She had and demanded anything that I ever recorded, whether it was on a 4-track cassette tape or if it was something I recorded on a again, we didn't have cell phones until the 90s, right? So the mid 80s, excuse me. But I had this thing called a Tascam, and it was a 4-track recorder.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were allowed to record stereo on the first 2 tracks, so I would do my drum tracks and guitar lines, but the last 2 tracks would be the back side of the B side. So you could do track 1 and then track 2 for the back 2 sides on that. So you'd be able to get 2 more tracks of music.
Right.
So even if I did something crappy like that, she wanted it and she still has it all too. She has every cassette tape I have given her.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
My little sister was the one that I influenced the most.
She's got the ultimate collection.
Yeah.
That's cool.
She does. We used to call them pickles.
Yeah.
And he was a kid who got into a bad car accident. He was a very, very good friend of mine before he got, and it screwed him up. He got brain damage and, he split his skull open. So he was never the same. But because he was a little bit slow, we called him Pickles.
Yeah.
But he had every single song I've ever written as well because he demanded it. He was another one. Make sure I get that tape. And he would play it he would play it in his car. Driving down the road, I hear my music. It was like the greatest thrill in the whole world.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. So, Living or Dead, is there a dream artist that you would love to do like a collab with?
He's dead.
Okay.
Kurt Cobain.
Of course.
I want to work with him.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know what to say to be in his presence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be like, my life partner, Debbie, is one of those people that if she ever saw Elvis, she would pass out, you know? And that's how I feel about Kurt.
Yeah.
If I seen him, I would fall over. I wouldn't even know what to say. My knees
would
fall.
That's your idol. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh. So, you know, it's nice to have idols, though. You have to have them.
Sure.
There's nobody to, you know, you got to look up to somebody. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. 100%.
So, do you have another song for us?
I do.
Nice.
So, my son was born. I was telling you about the heavy metal band that I was traveling in. Well, in the midst of that, while I went home on a winter break for Christmas, I saw a girl that I went to school with, and she was a bit older than me, 8 years to be exact.
Okay.
And we did our thing, you know. She had a baby, and she was losing her mind. She lost the baby.
Oh.
And so I took custody of him. I dropped my whole music career, and for 10 odd years, I did play the guitar. I wrote music, but I did it in my basement while he slept.
Yeah.
I didn't play out. I didn't do any gigs. I was in a band called Right Angle. I quit the band at the time. So I just started taking care of him.
Oh.
So I dropped the heavy metal band to go take care of him is the best way to say that.
Yeah.
I quit the heavy metal band. I stopped touring. I came back to Massachusetts. But while I was here getting custody of my son, because it wasn't just here you go, I had to go through the whole 9 yards to get custody of my son. So this song is called the John Song, and it's inspired by that.
Oh.
And if you're asking, it's chapter 15. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Children never know when they're doing wrong. They only know how to have fun. Where did you go? Where did you hide? Mom and Dad, please don't run and hide. Out in the yard, climb a tree, jump to the ground, jump a fence, run from the cops to the wild romance. Mom and Dad, please don't run and hide. Where did you go? Who do you know? How did you feel? I don't know. Where should I go? Should I know? How should I feel? I don't know. Where should I go? Like I said, it's punk music.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that riff. Like, do, 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 do.
Because it sounds like Metallica.
That's how it does.
You think?
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's a compliment, you know.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah, that's exactly
what I thought of. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know any Metallica songs.
Oh, really?
I barely listen to them.
What was that, Master of Puppets?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good though.
I wrote that song when I was 22.
Really?
I don't think that song was out yet.
So Master Puppets took that from you too. Metallica took that from you also.
You know, you can't copyright a chord progression.
No, you cannot.
Even
no,
if
you
they can. Did, what am I supposed to say?
Right.
And
you still like chord progression. There's only so many.
And that song lyrics have nothing to do with Master of Puppets. So there's no way that's even close.
No. But that's just kind of the inspo that I heard, you know, very, very
similar.
I've
been told 100 times that something that I wrote sounds like something that someone else wrote.
Sure.
I think at some point, like, everything's been done.
Right. That's what I say about Christmas music. And I say that because I worked retail and I worked, you know, in a hotel for, you know, years. And, you know, from the day after Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve, that's all you freaking hear is, you know, Christmas music. And I'm like, you know, there's only, I probably heard 6 different versions of Jingle Bells in a 9-hour span. And it's like, there's only so many Christmas songs. But, and there's only so many you can write. And it's the same thing. There's only so many chord progressions. And
but I have 0 Christmas songs.
Thank God.
There you go. And, you know, it's the lyrics. It's the story that makes it unique. You know, and it's, you know, whether the song sounds familiar, the experiences that you're writing from only happen to you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like I said, the book is only in someone's imagination. It means whatever the hell it means to you.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what it means to me. It the outcome of it is, well, how did it make you feel? That's the whole point of Irony's Revenge. That's the whole point of everything that I've written is, okay, it made me feel this way, but how does it make you feel?
Yes.
So, better yet, how did you come up with the name Irony's Revenge?
Life's Revenge. Just, everything's an irony. Everything you see is like, you know, the irony of that.
So, like Alanis Morissette said, isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic? Okay, so let me give you an example, okay? So, you walk down the street, and you see this guy being crazy, drugged out. Blah, 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 blah. And the irony of it is his dad's the mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Irony's Revenge. That's the revenge taken out on his dad. Because it's tough to be the mayor when your son's the drug addict spilling his mouth on the corner telling everyone.
Sure, and you got an image to protect.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
So that would be an example of Irony's Revenge. It's the revenge of irony. That's karma, baby.
Mm.
Okay, karma's real. I don't know anybody who can hear my voice, okay? If you put negative out into the universe, you will get nothing back. Don't tell me you got bad luck, okay? That's the negative bullshit that you're putting out.
Sure.
You know, you're going to get it back. You're going to get it back.
Sometimes it's sooner rather than later, but yeah, it'll come back to you. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
And that goes just the same for something positive you do.
Sure.
You're not supposed to boast about anything positive you do for someone, but make sure you do something for someone and ask for nothing in return and tell nobody about it.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
And
be a good person in silence.
I promise you, okay, it will come back fold after fold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%, for sure. Been the recipient of that. I've been, you know, doing my best to be a source of encouragement for people and not expect anything back. And people have been awesome. Just sending the love right back.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, the world definitely needs more positivity, encouragement, love, and all that.
Kindness, be a good human. Yeah, it costs nothing.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, I have an idea of making world peace.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
but you get all the world leaders together at one table.
Yep.
And pass a bong around. They'll all be laughing at each other, have the munchies, buy pizza, and be friends.
Isn't that also referred to as a peace pipe?
It is.
Yes.
The Indians would.
There you go.
Well, they put peyote in it.
Yeah.
But, and you would hallucinate. Yeah, but that's what they. But you're right. The reason why they called it a peace pipe is because peyote would bring nothing but the peace vibe out.
Sure.
It was its side effect was, I can't hate anything right now.
Hey, I'm too fucked up to hate.
Yeah, it's just like, yo, you slapped me in the face. That's really cool.
Well, Squeeze, I really appreciate you coming down here and doing this for us and sharing all these awesome stories and especially your music. We really appreciate it. You know, we got just a sampling of your music abilities when you came down here with the cans. But you know, there's a whole story that you guys have just got a good sampling of, and you know, it's just great to hear it all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you have any advice that you would give to any aspiring musicians just starting out?
Practice.
Yeah.
You will get out of music exactly what you put into it. If you do not practice, you will never improve. If you don't keep practicing, it is not like riding a bicycle. You will forget.
Oh, that's true.
You must keep playing every single day, even if you don't feel like it. Play music if you want to be a musician. Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing covers or writing music, play every day.
What
never stop.
Nothing happens if nothing happens.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't put in the work, you don't get the results.
Exactly it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, this has been just a great interview. We really appreciate you. I think before we let you go, do you have one last song?
I might. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have kind of a disturbing song.
Okay.
Viewer discretion advised. So in chapter 37, Jack Sr. had a boy.
Yeah.
His name was Jack Jr. And then during the chapters, it talks about when he was growing up. However, when Jack Jr. was in high school, he was picked on a lot. Jack Sr. was in the military and had a Uzi in his house.
Ooh.
And this tune is called Hey Jack.
I actually have one question about this. So how many chapters are there? And is it each song is a different chapter?
Each song is a whole different story, a whole different chapter.
And so how many are there?
82.
Wow.
This has to be a book that we have to find somewhere on a shelf.
It's never going to be on a shelf.
It's a shelf. It squeezes not, mind.
I will not ever release this.
Yeah.
My problem with the world right now is nobody appreciates art.
Yeah. You know,
there's so much of it out there, and everybody's a musician. Everybody's a star. Everybody is something more than they want of mine.
It's oversaturated, and it's too easy.
It is.
To get anything out there at any time.
You don't even know how to play an instrument. You could still make music.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
AI is, I think, in my opinion, taking music down an entirely different path, and the authenticity is starting to get lost.
Yeah, and people say you're crazy. You know, you're giving up millions of dollars, and you're giving up, you know, money for your kids when you die and all this shit. No, it's just like, fuck you, all right?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because when I die, my music's going with me. No one's going to make nothing on the stuff that I... And I don't mean to be an ass about it, but art is exactly that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and if you can't have it in your heart, then why should five generations from now enjoy something they don't even understand?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Kids today, if you played a Led Zeppelin song for a 14-year-old today, he'd look at you and say, what is that?
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't remember music. They don't remember Elvis. They don't remember what we know. Okay, kids today hear all this boom, 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 boom. You hear a car down the road, boom. You don't even need gas. It rattles down the road.
Yeah.
So all you hear is that 34 hertz coming through their bass speakers, you know?
Right.
And that's all you hear. And it's like, that's disgusting. That's not music. That don't want to make me dance. That makes me want to hurl.
Yeah.
You know, and the money that it would cost, the time and effort that it would do, okay, unless a record company calls me tomorrow and says, come here, we'll sign you, we'll do all the legwork, okay, and all you got to do is talk into a microphone about your book, and we'll have everyone else do the legwork.
Yeah.
I'll sign the paperwork, okay, and I'll even give half the money to charity, because I don't care about money. Stuff in the world is just stuff in the world.
It's all
material. You can't stuff your grave box with it, okay? You just enjoy life. You know, people say, you only live once. No, it's wrong. You only die once. You live every day until that happens.
Oh, I like
that. I love that.
Yeah.
That is good.
So this last song I'm going to do is called Jack.
Got it.
And viewer discretion advised. Jack, what did you do? Hey, Jack, did you visit that school? Hey, Jack, we know what you did. Hey, Jack, went and hurt them kids. Jack, has Uzi. Oh no, Jack went and shot up that school. Hey, hey, Jack, did you steal your dad's Uzi? Oh no, Jack went and hurt damn kids. You go. Hey, Jack, you're on the news right now. Hey, Jack, where did you hide? Hey, Jack, you wanted dead or alive? Jack, did you steal your dad's Uzi? No, Jack went and shot up that school. Hey, hey, Jack, did you steal your dad's Uzi? Oh no, Jack, you got your head in a noose. Hey, hey, Jack.
Woo! Wow.
Yeah, pretty powerful.
Yeah.
That was inspired by the seventh school shooting that I saw on the news.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's been far, one's too many.
Sure.
The fact that we've had more than one is crazy.
I have a message to say to all the young people out there before I go.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
song, okay, was inspired because when I was a kid and we were going to school, we had shotguns in our windows as we pulled up. Right in the back window, left our doors open. Some kids walked in with sidearms on their belt.
Wow.
Okay. Teachers didn't say a word.
Different times.
Okay. And this shit needs to stop, okay? If somebody's teasing you, learn how to fight. Okay? When we were kids, we had a problem. We went outside and settled it.
Yeah.
Okay? And all it did was make us tougher and stronger. Okay? A gun solves nothing but takes two lives away, the one who shot somebody and the one who got shot.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're going to jail and he's going to the grave.
Yeah.
In either way, you both lost your life. As simple as that. Love yous all. Thank you.
Oh. Well, Squeeza, I appreciate you coming down here. I appreciate you sharing some chapters of that book of yours. It is an interesting book.
My pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, you got it. And So, real quick, where can people find you out there on the interwebs?
So, if you go on Facebook, Squeeza Gargone, send me a friend's request. I accept everybody. I think I'm beyond the 5,000 at this point, though.
Yeah, 6,000 last I checked.
Yeah, something crazy like that. But you'll at least be able to follow me. If you want to hear all this craziness on full album version with a full band and the whole nine yards, go on Reverb Nation, just look up Squeeza, listen to the music. It's been number one in the region forever.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It's under the punk rock era of life. There's a couple other places that you might find the music, but if they are, they're only by chance. I pulled everything off the platforms until someone gives me the real money that I deserve for this music to be there. Because 0.02 of a penny, my friend, you ain't getting my music on the air.
Yeah.
No.
It's not happening.
Know your worth and add some tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. Pay me a penny a play. Okay. 0.02 of a penny. YouTube. You guys, that's who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You ain't getting my business.
And do you have any gigs or anything coming up?
Yeah. Actually, I wrote them down.
Yeah.
So, Three Rivers in Palmer, Massachusetts.
Nice.
And I was talking about Tori Jock. She hosts this event. And the last time I played there, it was sold out. It was an absolutely packed crowd. I'm still reeling on the response that I got from these guys. But I've been invited back, nonetheless.
Yeah.
And Tori invited me back. So it's going to be on October 7th, and that's at Three Rivers, Massachusetts, and it's in Palmer, Mass.
Yeah.
But it's called Three Rivers. And I believe it's called the Music... let me think for a second. The Music Hall of Fame or something there. It's an old church.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can't miss it. But when you go into Three Rivers, you can't miss this place. It's like the first thing that you see.
Okay.
And Yeah, it's an auto, and also on November 14th, I'll be there.
Okay.
Plus, I play on all the open mics. I do the open mic for the Auto River.
Yeah, on the Wednesdays?
On Wednesdays.
That's Franco O'Malley's
Franco guy. Franco O'Malley, Franco, yeah. He's my the Can Collector's one of our favorite people.
Yeah.
We do a lot of things for him. Awesome. Franco's good people. Love him to death.
Yeah.
He does a really good job. Sometimes I'll play a couple other different open mics. I'll just show up. It's sporadic. I mean, when I feel like doing it, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I work full time, so it's whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a whatever thing. Yeah. But those are the two definite dates that I'm going to be playing next as far as the Squeezer stuff is concerned.
Awesome.
The Can Collectors were playing everywhere, but it's mostly
private
parties, mostly private stuff at this point.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming down and doing this and letting us, read some of those chapters.
Yeah, deep dive into Squeeze's world a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. You know, it's funny thing, when I walk out here, all that stuff will be stuck in your head.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, for sure. We thank you, guys. This has just been an absolute joy to do and to bring to you guys. Again, make sure that you are following us on all our platforms. The bigger audience that you guys give us, the bigger of a spotlight that we can put on our local musicians from the area, which really helps them out. So, guys, make sure you're following us. Nikki, can you tell them where to find us?
Yeah, we are on all of the major streaming platforms. We're on Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora. Wherever, you're streaming your platforms, we're also on YouTube. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as well.
Awesome, guys. And again, we thank you for tuning in, and we hope that you tune into all the episodes. But that's been it. So with that said, bye.
Bye.
Peace.
The Musical Chairs of Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.